chapter, you'll find some interesting things. Like right here at the beginning of muscle, there's a paragraph or two that says, on page D4,
why
learn about muscle? Also known as the big picture. Okay, so we're going to think about skeletal muscle. I'll leave you to read that all by yourself. That's a good study. And we're going to end up spending a lot of our time talking about a sarcomere. And we're going to use a whole muscle preparation in certain ways to simulate a sarcomere. So, let's see. Again, those who are taking histology now, you started muscle yet? No? Yes? No?
I don't know.
I started last week.
Started this week. You will. Okay. So I guess you want to look at page E6.
Six.
And what does the picture show you on page E6 that you can talk about yourself? Tell me what you see and tell me what the message of this is. Okay. Muscles are made up of fascicles, which are made up of fibers, which are made up of myofibrils. And a sarcomere is a piece of myofiber. We're going to talk about fibers. We're going to talk about sarcomeres. And we're going to use a whole muscle. And if a whole muscle is made up of fibers, and we work under some certain conditions so that all the fibers of the muscle are behaving the same, then we can use the behavior of the whole muscle to illustrate what's going on in each of the sarcomeres. Does that make sense? Well, here's a picture of a sarcomere. Now tell me what you see in that sarcomere. It's myosin. And what is the myosin? A thick filament, okay? There's a thick filament that we call myosin. What else do you see? Actin. What kind of film is the actin?
Thin
film. Thin film, okay. What else do you see? The Z line, whatever the hell that is, okay. But that looks like the end of the sarcomere, right? And from the previous picture, you saw that there's another sarcomere over here, and there's another sarcomere over here, and there's another sarcomere over here, lots more sarcomeres over here. And there's an attachment over here. Attaching the muscle to the bone, right there. There's another circumference. And what does that look like to you? If you were going to tell somebody what that represents, what kind of thing does that look like?
A spring.
A slinky or spring, okay. And so if it's a slinky or spring, it exhibits some recoil, right?
Yes.
All right, good. So tell me what you think happens from either your previous knowledge or just from the picture. What do you think these myosin heads might do? Grab on to the actin.
Downstroke.
And if it grabs onto the actin, you think it might do something else. Might it cause something to happen? Might cause something to happen to this sarcomere. So I guess if you stimulate this and these interact in the way they interact, then you're going to see some shortening of this sarcomere. Alright. Well, let's look at that a little closer. And now we see, oh wow, is this neat or what? Because now we see that here's the thick filament, it's a little bit better, and here's the thin filament, here's the actin, here's the Z-line over here, thin filament, head or cross bridge, you see it looks like it's going to meet up there, myosin. See anything else in this picture? We don't see up here in this picture. See troponin and tropomyosin. And do you have any idea? Can you really see what that's pointing at?
No. Not at all.
What's pointing around the strings around the ah? Tropomyosin represents the strings around the ah, and troponin represents the other piece on the actin. But they're, because they're labeled, I would think that they probably have some significance for us. Okay, so let's see. Let's look at one of these things and see whether or not we can take it out. See that, all right? Let's see what this picture shows us here. This is the whole muscle. So we're stimulating that.
As the rate of stimulation increases, the contractions are summated, and the entire muscle contracts. This is called tetanus.
We're not too worried about that right now. What we want to see is that we go back here again. And we take this gastrocnemius in the frog.
A muscle stimulated by a single pulse twitches.
See that? Twitch. 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 And so it contracts,
as
right?
As the rate of stimulation increases, the contractions are summated, and the entire muscle.
Don't care about that. And so, what must be happening there? If we stimulate it, what do you think must be happening? What do you think that stimulus is causing to happen?
Contraction.
Well, but based on our prior experience, if I stimulate, what do you think is happening in that muscle?
Contraction. Propagation.
Propagation of what?
Radiance.
You didn't propagate. Propagation of what? An action potential. So, gee, if we stimulate that, we must be producing an action potential somewhere. Is there a nerve connected to this? Is there? Okay, I'm going to.
Are you ready?
Here we go. We're going to look at that again.
A muscle is.
There it is. There's the muscle. Do you see any nerve?
No.
I don't see any nerve.
Then how does it work?
Pardon?
Machine is providing electrical impulse
as the nerve would. There's no nerve.
Neurotransmitters.
There's no neurotransmitter. There's no nerve. All we're doing is stimulating this. And so what must be having an action potential? What must be exhibiting an action potential? The muscle itself.
Yeah.
If that's the case, what would I expect to find in the membrane of the muscle cell?
Voltage-gated channel.
What kind of channel?
Sodium, calcium, all of them.
What should I expect to find in there if I have an action potential? What kind of channels would I expect to find? Voltage-gated,
calcium.
Not voltage-gated calcium channel. How quickly they forget. 1 weekend. Why was it a long weekend? Somebody said something
about
it. I didn't quite understand that because I had a late floor on Friday. You'd be pleased to know that we're not always doing this for the first time out. It only took me about 5 hours to put 3 lengths of floor together. But I had 3 of those. I had 3 of 3 lengths, and I couldn't get those 3 lengths together.
And the ends are hard.
Well, you'd think so. But you know, it just doesn't work out with one person.
Maybe you should draw a model to help you out.
Yeah, the model, and then I took a little piece, tried it out to make a good idea for a bigger piece, and then I what do you think I did then?
Did it work? Because if it didn't work,
try it again. But then I went to get some. I let somebody else read the instructions and see what they thought.
I just can't get them in.
And they did it the way I did it, and it didn't work any better.
Straight line.
But then the next day, I discovered what. Okay.
What was it?
Upside down.
No, it's not cheap stuff.
You put it in cork?
Cheap stuff.
The
problem is this, you have to keep this 12-foot length or more of pieces all bent up at the same angle while you put it together. It's very difficult because my wingspan is not quite right. Anyway,
we could just put one piece.
What kind of channels do we have in here? Are we expecting to see? Voltage-gated, sodium channels, kind of activation gates. What other kind of channels would I expect to see?
Leak
channels. And what? Voltage-gated potassium channels. All right. So far, so good. So I'm going to see some of the same things I already know about, but we want to now look at this. Let's look at what happens with these actin and myosin kinds of things.
Stimulated by a single pulse, twitches.
Gotta be.
Almost got you. I look at my piece of my teammate. The rapids. Don't worry, I'm just waiting for somebody to just like put on somebody's leg. Yeah, seriously.
So there's our picture that we have right there. We have myosin heads, we have thick filaments, we have thin filaments, and now we're looking at a whole bunch of nests all relaxed. And what you told me was that somehow these heads are going to bind or some attached to that thin filaments and something's going to happen. Let's see what happens.
A muscle contraction occurs when actin filaments and myosin filaments slide past each other, causing the sarcomeres and consequently the muscle fibers to shorten. The movement of filaments is known as the sliding filament model of muscle contraction.
Ooh, look at that. Wow, look at that. Okay. Did you see what happened? What happened to those myosin heads? They moved. So they started up and they moved. And the actin came this way.
But why don't this model and the model 3-4, why don't they show any titans? And like the model in the coloring book doesn't show any
tightening. Well, the reason the molecules in the coloring book doesn't show any tightening is because the diagram in the coloring book was drawn before they started adding tightening.
So same for this.
Well, same for this is that it's kind of irrelevant at this point, but not. So what's the tightening? The tightening is something in here that's connecting this sarcomere with that sarcomere, or pieces within the sarcomere together. So it's like a little spring. So what we're going to have to do is say, what effect might that have? We'll take a look at that. Okay. But now the thing to notice here is that those myosin heads are binding, and the myosin heads are moving, and the actin isn't moving. The actin is sliding, but the myosin is causing it to move. And it's hooking on to a binding site, and it's pulling the actin along. And what we saw in the first picture, was that something had something called tropomyosin, or troponin, that somehow has some effect or some role in this process. So let's see what's happening here, and then we need to come back and figure out what it really all means. Well, pay attention. Okay, we're looking at it first before we talk about it. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's a bigger picture. It doesn't mean this is the bigger picture of what's happening. It means this picture is bigger than the last one.
Okay.
We're actually looking at the bigger picture of more detail.
Yeah.
So here we have the myosin. Here we have actin. What do you think is sitting in the plane between us and the board?
More actin filaments.
Another one up here, more actin filaments. So the three-dimensional sense and more actin filaments. Okay, so here's actin. And here's tropomyosin. And here, under that, is troponin. And there's a myosin head, and there's a myosin head. Let's see what's going to happen. So now we see some ATP and ADP here.
The phenomenon of muscle contraction begins when calcium ions are released from the sarcoplasmic reticulum in response to an action potential that propagates along the transverse tubules.
We're not interested in that.
Calcium ions bind to troponin on the thin filaments,
causing
the troponin-tropomyosin complex in the muscle fiber to undergo a structural change and move. This movement exposes the myosin binding sites on the actin. The myosin heads bind to actin and swivel toward the center of the sarcomere. This power stroke causes the thin actin filaments to slide past the thick myosin filaments. Repeated power strokes cause the Z-discs of the sarcomere to be drawn together. The sarcomere shortens, muscle fibers contract, and the muscle contracts.
So if you paid attention, what you saw was calcium came in from someplace, bound to the tropomyosin, the receptors under tropomyosin. Tropomyosin moved, revealing binding sites in the troponin. Troponin bound then with the head, and we saw some movement. You have to worry about how does that happen. And then there was ATP in there someplace, and that did something. And then we had repeating elements, right?
Right.
Well, one of the things that's very interesting in this is when we talked about our muscle shortening, when we saw that muscle that shortened and twitched, the muscle got smaller. So, in that situation, this binding and unbinding and the movement of the actin by the myosin caused the ends of the muscles to come together. The muscle shortened. The contraction ended up resulting in shortening. Can contraction occur without shortening of the muscle?
Yes.
Yes?
No.
Yes.
Yes?
No.
Yes? Okay. Why do you say yes?
Well, because I can go like this, and if it gets force, my muscle's going to stay the same, but I'm still exerting a force. So maybe the contraction is only strong enough to counteract that force, but not strong enough to move it.
So what she said was, if I push down, she can counteract that force. She's contracting her muscles. But there's no movement. Why'd you say no?
Contracting is small.
Okay, because the definition of contraction is the overlapping of the actin and myosin heads. Now, what's the... Yep.
I want to take back my hands.
Don't take back
your hands.
No, wait. I think you're right. You convinced me. I think you're right now.
Because here, the distance between the bones doesn't change, but when I do here, pressure here, I do that, my muscle pops up. So really, it's shortening. It's just not shortening this much. It's just isometric.
Okay. The problem here is that we're dealing with more than one muscle. That's part of it. No, not if we have the gastroc right there. We have the muscle. So here we have a situation where the definition of contraction was moving actin and myosin, which causes the sarcomeres to shorten. But the question that I asked really wasn't about the sarcomeres, was it?
No.
It was really about the muscle. And so now, if we take the muscle and we fix the length of the muscle, so we don't let it get shorter, the actin and myosin move together to some extent. They contract to some extent. And what happens? What do they generate now? They generate force. So we have a situation, if we go back to this other picture with the Titan. Let's go back to the picture with the Titan. What we see is that this Z line, this actin. One more?
No? Nobody does three.
I thought that was the rule.
Yeah, me too. My mom always does three.
Not three.
Yeah.
Three?
Not today. No one today. Three.
So, what we're seeing here is that this actin is sliding against across that myosin. And on the other side, the same thing is happening. And what is it doing to this Titan? Is it tightening it?
No. No, it's pulling it.
It's stretching. Okay. And if that's a spring-like thing and it's stretched, what does it tend to do? Recoil. And so now what you see, if I fix this side and fix that side in the simplest way, and I cause this actin to move against that, toward the center, and I cause move over to the center, I'm going to pull on that actin, I'm going to pull on that Titan, and I'm going to cause a tension to develop because of the recoil of this Titan. I'm going to try to pull back. So really what I see is I can actually fix the length of this sarcomere. And what will happen is the head binding to the actin and moving is going to generate a force across that muscle, across that sarcomere. So the contraction, as you've defined it, the contraction can lead to one of two actions. What are they? Shortening. And if you don't shorten, what do? You generate force. It either generates force or shortens. So we're going to come back and talk a lot more about that.
So is the muscle contraction only when the actin and myosin are actually moving? Because once they get there, it's no longer contracting.
No, the contraction, Fatima is right. Contraction means the interaction of actin and myosin. Okay? The result of the contraction may be force generation or it may be movement. But normal, or lots of times, what the student says is, the muscle contracts when it gets shorter. The muscle contracts when the heads and the actin and myosin interact. Whether or not it gets shorter or develops force depends on other things that are going on.
So, like when you exercise,
I don't exercise.
Would other people exercise?
Very painful. Pardon? When someone exercises,
when you there's different two ways to muscle. So you could either do quick reps, like I'm doing lots of movement, or you could do with heavier weights, shorter reps, where you're really more static and less movement, so you develop more core, more actual strength.
So you have either isometric, isotonic, isometric, or some in between.
Yeah, so when you're doing constant movement, you have those myosin and actin fibers kind of stretch and maybe grow bigger, but they're not as strong as when you're doing static.
Well, I think what you have to do is ask Rich about growth. You talk, you know anything about growth? I don't know much about growth.
Not growth, but...
No, but what you're talking about is growth, hypertrophy, and other kinds of things. But we're going to come back. We're going to separate those two things, and what we're really going to do is talk about what happens in this muscle when it's outside the body, not when it's inside, so we can understand the mechanism, it makes sense of the mechanism. And then maybe we'll put it in, but you know, before that. Okay, we need...
Sorry. Back on the fans.
Don't worry about Chelsea. Chelsea has to come in and act, baby. That's all you care about. We'll worry about more about it tomorrow.
Yeah.